Janice and I are glad to be back with you here at East Bend. We appreciate the opportunity, and it was afforded to us a few months ago by Luke, who shared with me that he was going to be taking sabbatical this summer. And so I said, well, let me know if there's any way I can help. And he sure did. And we had the opportunity to talk about these first 3 weeks, starting last week. And then about 6 weeks ago, I said, we've just lost a friend who passed very suddenly of a brain tumor and has family all over the United States. And last Saturday was the only time that his wife could kind of get everybody together for a memorial service. And so I called Luke back and said, hey, could I have that first week back? And I don't know if you spoke last week or somebody else did, but thank you for that opportunity to serve a friend over the last 20 years. When we had the opportunity to visit Steve and Lori in the hospital, they had been on a cruise. And all of a sudden, his balance and his speech started going by the wayside. And over a 12-hour period, she decided, I need to get him home. And what was supposed to be a vacation ended up being a revelation from the doctors that he had a massive brain tumor. And said, by the end of the week when they did further testing, we think you have about 6 months. And those 6 months turned into about 3 weeks. And I can just tell you, testify, that when we walked into the hospital room, we felt the peace of Christ. And then we heard the peace of Christ, because Steve just said, I don't know what's going on, I just know I have peace about it. And last weekend, we experienced that peace again, because Lori worked with me a little bit, but she worked on her husband's memorial service. And the first song we sang was Great is Thy Faithfulness. And he was on a worship team, and he was leading us in worship on video. And I can just tell you, the peace of Christ was just a wonderful thing there. And so I shared that just because the theme this week with VBS is Magnify. And I've chose together today with that theme of let us magnify him together. And so that's kind of where I'm going with our message. And I love being a guest speaker, because there's no time limit, right? I'm old enough that I can't see that digital clock back there. We'll just take an opportunity to magnify the Lord together. Steve's passing, he was the ninth friend or relative that Janice and I had lost since December 30th. And so, like you, we're reminded of the brevity of life constantly. But it just felt like when we were in Africa in March, within a 72-hour period, we found out the loss of two friends. And then the dorm dad at the children's home that we were staying passed of a tumor. Kids went off to school that day, said goodbye to him. I interacted with him twice. And when they came home from school, they found him slumped over in his chair. And he went home that day. Life's brief. We just never know, do we? And Janice and I tiptoed into being 65 last November, and so we're being reminded constantly in the mail of how old we are. Medicaid, Medicare, our new relatives, and are writing us all the time. And so we're very much aware of our need. The government's reminding us of our need for this checkup and that checkup, and yet the songs that we sang just now reminded us of the greater need. The one who gives and takes away. The one who's working, even when it doesn't feel like he's working. When whoever wrote that song brought it out last, you know, decade, I was just like, that like summarizes most of my days. I'm wondering, is he working? How's he working? Could he like reveal and show me how he's working? Because I don't what? I don't feel it. And if I'm honest, I'm wondering if I see it right now. And I'm going to knock myself off any pedestal you might have put me on, but my pedestal is pretty short, and it's just like, show me and help me feel it. I need to see it, I need to feel it, and then let's go. I don't know about you, but my senses of my love and obedience to God seems like it's pretty like a veneer. I want to feel it, I want to see it, and then I'll declare that I know it. And that's the next level of problem, when Jim feels like he knows it. And then when I know it, I feel like I'm in control. And that's exactly where the Father doesn't want his disciples, feeling like we're in control. And so how do we get beyond all that as followers of Christ, as those who declare that we only have one God? I only have one God. It's just that I keep getting myself in the way. I know who he is. I just keep getting myself in the way. And Satan has a reoccurring challenge that just I seem to fail at in my life, and that is putting self ahead of him. And it's like he knows, I only have to do one or two quick moves and Jim's right back where I want him. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, that I'm very readily to declare there is only one God. But I want him active on my timetable and on my schedule of when I need this or need that. And I have to reflect and go, oh, it looks like I'm in his place instead of him being where he needs to be. And so the appropriate word, magnify, is not about magnifying your needs or mine, but magnifying him. Getting him right back where he belongs, so that we can say together, there's no one like our God. And as we discover today in Scripture, God chooses to reveal himself. Now, I want to remind you of that, because as we read Scripture this morning, the people that we're going to be reading about, Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham, they didn't go to Sunday school. They weren't at church at 9:30 for worship, or 10:30. They were in a relationship with God, walking with him, and he was revealing himself to them. When someone famous comes to town or comes to the region, you know, we'll say, oh, did you hear that so-and-so is going to be at the state fair or the county fair or at the, maybe at the assembly hall or something. And then we start to lay out their accolades. They've done this and done that. They sing to this big of crowds, or they do this. And all of a sudden, we're trying to introduce someone. God has chosen to introduce himself to you and I by revelation. Scripture is the second part of that revelation. So I want you to be aware that sometimes in our Western mindset, we think Scripture's first. It's the historical account of how he revealed himself, because there is no one like our God. And so this morning, we're just going to look at a few of the names that he has revealed himself to be down through the ages so that we can rest assured in him as we magnify him. Magnify him. You know, how could we get the right size of magnifying glass to encounter our God? There is no such magnifying glass. But the scriptures declare we would be better off if we would come together and magnify him. It's like a reminder that one of the things that you and I do most often is we forget. We forget the benefits of the Lord. We're not mindful of what he did last year, last week, yesterday, 10 years ago, back in history. And so the Spirit is saying, well, get together and magnify him. Get together and tell us stories again about what he's done, what no other God could do but that God. And so that's my hope this morning, that we could kick off this week of magnification through magnifying God. You see, the very first lesson is God created everything there is, and yet he still wants to spend time with me. He magnifies your importance and mine. Wow. But we can only fully start to understand that if we magnify him first. He's the big deal. And then we go, oh, wow, the big deal still wants to spend time with me? Wow. He wants to have an appointment with me every morning. He wants to give me good rest at night. He wants me to be at peace with him. Wow. Well, this morning I want to start with, and we don't have time, just so you can put at rest, we're not going to go through all the names of God. Okay? Because there's like dozens. But the first one revealed in Scripture is Elohim, God the Creator. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. In the Scripture, Elohim is plural, so he's already giving himself away. There's something more to me than meets the eye. And he reveals to us Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we continue to go through Scripture. But Elohim in the Hebrew is we created. In the beginning, we created the heavens and the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but we summarize our heaven and earth like this. Isn't it like really humid today? Or isn't it really this? And so we do our little checks and balances of how we feel about our heaven and our earth. Or did you see that sunset the other day? A few days ago, it was magnificent. And then I realized in the next day as I'm reading the news, oh, it's because of all the smoke coming down from Canada. God reveals himself to us. And he's saying, I'm the only one that creates. I see over the last few years that Janice and I have been coming to Illinois that you've acquired something that we have out in Colorado, and that's those big monstrous white windmills that you start popping up over on the farms. And I'm not here to debate those, other than I can tell you that Janice and I were traveling to some friend's house in Texas a few years ago, and we came on a 15-acre farm that was about 30 feet high of broken-down windmills. That's all, 15 acres. And they were trying to acquire more just so they could pile up. But that's a recognition that everything that man builds falls apart. The greatest tractors that you see, there's a shed in the back of the farmer's place for maintenance, okay? Everything that we go, wow, is going to need some help. But he who creates also recreates in a word. He speaks. He speaks strength. He speaks healing. He speaks power. And when he speaks, it kind of blows our familiarity away. I Googled this week a little bit more about our universe that you and I look at and summarize a little bit, the stars and the sky. Here's what was on Google. It takes our sun 250 million years to orbit the Milky Way. I can't comprehend a million years, let alone 250 million years for our sun as a star to orbit just the galaxy of the Milky Way. Ultimately, the Milky Way is about 100,000 light years across and 1,000 light years thick. Our solar system is located about 26,000 light years away from the center of the galaxy. If that's not impressive enough, our star is just one of the 200 billion stars just in the Milky Way. As such, scientists estimate that there could be as many as 3 trillion planets in our galaxy. And keep in mind, these are just the numbers for our own tiny galaxy. According to NASA, and they've always been right, there are about 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. No mind can conceive, no mind has heard, the wonders of our God. Wow. And yet he wants to spend time with you. And yet in that time, he wants to hear what you're aching about, what you're needing. He knows before you ache what's aching you. He knows before you whisper a prayer what you're going to say, because he's God. Wow. Just a few chapters later in Genesis, in chapter 22, we find the story of Abraham. You know the story well, I'm sure. Abraham and Sarah didn't have a child, and God says, you're going to have a child. Then he provides a child, and in chapter 22, he asks for the child back. Abraham, I want you to go offer Isaac, your one and only son, as a sacrifice. The immediate response of Abraham is to pack his bags. The next day, the scripture says, he and got Isaac. They acquired the wood, everything they needed for the journey, 2 servants, a donkey, and set out to go to the mountain for the sacrifice. Amazing. Chapter 22, verse 8 says, Abraham says to Isaac, because Isaac's asked, you know, the minivan's packed, it's a donkey. They got the wood, they got this, they got that, and Isaac asks the obvious question, where's the lamb? What are we sacrificing? And this is what Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Wow. How many of you have taken a step of obedience with God and you can't see any provision? It does not make sense to take the next step because you don't know where you're going to get the next tank of gas or the next month's rent or the next whatever, because you don't see it and you're right where Abraham was. And you have to make a declaration, we're just going to stay here and stay put until God does, or we're going to move in obedience and he will provide. That is what that next step is. Either I'm going to stay put and ponder, or I'm going to walk by faith. He's called, I'm going to be obedient. When you walk by faith, when you and I walk by faith, we're stepping into that unknown because of what Abraham set for us in a pattern. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. Now, I want you to understand that when you and I stay put, we put most of the pressure on ourselves. When we walk by faith, the pressure's on Him. It feels like it takes everything to get that first step. But then you realize, oh, I'm going. Abraham had been called, follow me. Moses gets called, follow me, take you to a land. And here it is, walk by faith. Why? Because I'll provide. I'll provide. You see, beyond our Western thought, we wake up, we see the stars and the morning sun, although those become familiar to us, and a paycheck becomes familiar to us. Or even, like, I'm at my daughter's house, and we expect 8 to 10 eggs a day, okay? But they're not our providers. He is. And so often, Satan wants to take the familiar and make it bigger than it really is. And God's saying, come, magnify me together. Come, remind each other who I am. And that's what VBS will be this week. We'll be reminding the kids, here's who He is. Here's what He does. It'll be so exciting. But you and I, we need that reminder all the time. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Who? Jehovah Jireh. Elohim. He is more than meets the eye. Abram does not receive the lamb until when? He has lifted the knife. Isaac has got to be wondering, what is the mental health of my father right now? When the Lord stops him, and Isaac and Abraham experience Jehovah Jireh. God says, let me reveal myself to you. Follow me. And it says, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram. Wow. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, we're introduced to this Yahweh, El Shaddai, which means all-sufficient one, the Almighty. And the core meaning of the Hebrew all-meaning of the Almighty is lacks nothing. Everything ever needed is in Him. He lacks nothing. I'm the Almighty. And we see God revealing Himself again to Abraham, but back in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I am God lacking nothing. He's 99, and who is He speaking to? He's speaking to a heart of a man who's saying, I'm lacking an offspring. I'm lacking the good old days when you could play with your kids and have all these memories. I don't have that. And God's saying, guess who's showing up? I'm revealing myself. I lack nothing. And what does He promise Abraham? A son? I'll increase your number greater than the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. Translated today, I'm going to blow you away. And we see that in the birth of a son. And we get to see Abraham and Isaac experience Isaac, but God's saying, oh, but that's just the start. You see, your life and mine isn't about us. It's the continuation. If we're following Christ, we are part of those stars in the sky of Abraham. We're part of the sand on the seashore of Abraham. We're the continuation of the blessing of Genesis 12, 17, and 22. God, who is revealing himself to each of us through history, I'm the provider, I'm the one who lacks nothing, I'm the one who, as we sang, makes a way when there seems no way, who's working when you don't feel it, when you can't see it, I'm working. Yeah. On a personal level, I'll magnify the Lord in this. Last year, we went 7 months without a paycheck. Most of you know what that is. And the peace of Christ washed over us, and we were like, yeah, we don't know, but he knows. And I can just tell you, that was the first time in 43 years of marriage that we'd ever experienced that. We had gone shorter seasons. But he was more than enough. He provided. And the first thing he provided was peace. You're going to be okay. Okay. Now, as an individual, I think some of us get there faster than others. As a couple, we're at a different pace. And he gave us that peace as a couple. And it was awesome. Because there were a lot of things coming right at us very quickly last year, and we were able to give ourselves fully to those things. Because he gave us himself. Let me share with you a few others in closing. Adonai. Miriam and Moses, after crossing the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptian army totally defeated, they sing, "Who among the gods is like you?" We might translate, there is no one like our God. Who is among the gods is like you? Who is like your holiness? Who is like you in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? What are they singing? They're summarizing what they just experienced. Wow. How blessed we are to have a God who reveals himself in holiness, in glory, and working wonders. He is our Adonai. Lord, Master, Redeemer, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who among the gods is like you? Amazing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 continues this thought. And now it's shifted from just the plurality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or God, as who is he? He's revealing himself to us. And now the shift is to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he laid provision for purification of our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Wow. Wow. So if El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the Almighty, just made purification for your sins and mine, did he forget something? Did he leave something out? Did he want you and I to pick up the last 5%? 4%? 1%? 0.5%? No. He made full, complete payment for your sin and mine. Rest assured, Adonai, El Shaddai, has come to your aid and mine. And through his son Jesus, and it says in the scriptures, just at the right time, God sent his son. And about that time, it says, before the creation of time, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit chose the time. Amazing. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. El Roy, the God who sees. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what I need. He knows what we're going through. He sees us. He is the everlasting. Jesus would say, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. Anything you need from back there or from up here, I got you. I'm there. Let us magnify the Lord together. And so we hear this throughout Scripture. We sing it, and my God will meet all your needs. Paul says this. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. So what is it that Satan does to pull you and I off this journey of magnifying God? He uses doubt. He uses fear. He uses isolation. He wants you and I to get worried about something and to isolate ourselves from one another, not go back to church, not go to that study, not be with these people, whatever, because he wants to overwhelm us as if everything is on us. So the next time he starts planting doubt or fear or thoughts of isolation, oh, it's time to come. Let us magnify the Lord together. Let us remind each other how he's been in the past, how he has just reminded us last year or last week, or how he'll meet our needs in the future. And so it is even with this, the songs this morning. My spirit was just rejoicing in the song collection because I was just like, it's ministering to me because I know where I'm going in the scriptures. And I'm like, wow, even when those dark times come, blessed be the name of the Lord. And those dark times are when, what? When you and I can't see, we don't feel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come. In fact, I would say this, reminding myself and my spirit, the next moment you feel doubt come your way or fear or the thought of isolation, run to another believer to magnify the Lord. Just remind each other how good he is. Speak one of or more of his names to each other, because he doesn't what? He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In isolation, Peter not only denied he knew Jesus, but he finally said, I'm through. I'm going back to fishing. And yet God, in his everlasting love, Jesus did what? Fixed him breakfast on the shore, met him out as he was fishing, and he fished all night and caught nothing, and said, why don't you try one more time, cast your net on the other side. And it was like, hello, we've been doing this all night. Not going to do it one more time. Just one more time. What did he experience? I don't recall anywhere else in Scripture where there is an official count of how many fish were caught, except in this instance. I think it's 153 fish. I've always wondered, what's the big deal? It's because they'd never caught so many fish before. And it says the boats began to sink, and that some of them were huge fish and some were small. Some of them might have been throwbacks, but they were overwhelmed. And it was then that Peter saw, that's the Lord. Something's happening right now. I've walked with him for 3 years. Last weekend, I denied that I even knew him, and he's helping me right now. He's revealing himself to me right now. And I just said, I'm going back to fishing. And I just had the biggest catch of my life. And it says, Peter jumped out of the boat and ran to the Lord. May we follow his example. Resist the temptation to be stuck in doubt or fear or isolation, whatever the adversary gets you and I stuck in. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Come, let us sing praises that only belong to the Lord our God. For it's the greatest love, the greatest forgiveness, the greatest grace waiting for every one of us to start a new day. There's power in walking with God despite your brokenness and mine. Come, let's get together and magnify him. And if you need a little boost on that this week, come hang out from 9 to 11:30 and listen to kids being told how great is our God. Come see their joy. Come see their childlike faith, and may that boost yours and mine. Let's pray. Thank you for your great love, O Father. I thank you for how many times you have patiently just kind of waited for me. When I wandered off in doubt or fear, when I thought I was all alone, and I wanted somebody else on my side, but you. And all along, you were just right there with me, waiting, patiently loving, patiently enduring my wanderings, my fears, my doubts. And just at the right time, you brought the ram, you brought the sacrifice, you brought the provision, you restored my soul. And may today you accept this time together around your word and around your people, and as we've declared worship and song and in prayer, receive praises from us. For there is no God like our God in holiness, in glory, in wonder. Thank you for bringing Jesus just at the right time. May we be faithful in declaring the provision. You have made a way. You are our promise keeper, our way maker, you are our God. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Been standing if you're able.